Happy Monday morning. It's time for Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined, thankfully and as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. Marianne always makes sure that I'm coming in. She checks on me in the morning, which I've asked her to do from that one time that I forgot to come in. But today I didn't have my ringer on, so I gave Marianne a little bit of a heart attack.
I was like, are you okay? Text. And also, in full disclosure about the whole thing, Linda has never set up the phone message on her phone ever. How old is your new phone now?
7 years. I hate voicemails so much. And I know, but that's why. I mean, it's all like, oh, would you like this timeshare?
Oh, you
have your car warranty. That's it's all that stuff. And then when I'm done with my messages, I'm just angry.
Well...
So I've been thinking.
Yeah. Maybe
I should start drinking coffee again.
Uh-oh.
What do you think?
I don't have an opinion about you drinking coffee, although I'm telling you that if somebody took my coffee away from me, I would have to be caged. Seriously.
I had to like shimmy in here sideways because I got like sidewalk scrape marks on my butt from dragging it in here this morning.
Oh my gosh, coffee.
I miss it.
I know. It is that is the single most delicious thing I do every single day. I just love the taste of coffee.
And I drink decaf. And there are really good roasters in town here in Astoria that make delicious decafs.
Yeah.
So I'm not like, you know,
deprived of
suffering.
The flavor.
Yeah.
But the
loss of
the
skin on
stuff.
My butt. Yes. Scraping it across the lovely little purple glass sidewalk.
Speaking of purple, you have a fabulous shirt on, and I can see it because there's
no apron.
No apron.
It's one of those mornings. That's why I was thinking about the coffee. You're lucky I have underwear on. That's just one of those days, Marianne.
And it's Monday. It's a Monday, living up to its rep. What have you been cooking?
Well, I made something that was really delicious, and I was really happy with it. You know Melissa Clark, she's a recipe writer, and her stuff always turns out.
It is really good.
Yeah, there's just always people that it's not just that what they make resonate, but just that they really do test their recipes in every possible way that you could mess it up, and they turn out. So it was cauliflower shawarma.
Oh, my gosh. It has gotten so many raves. I haven't made it yet.
Oh, really? Yeah. No, it's really good. So what you're kind of doing is making a gyro sandwich with cauliflower instead of meat, you know?
Uh-huh.
So you make a paste with cumin, olive oil, paprika, salt and pepper, coriander, turmeric, just a little bit of cayenne, and then you cut up a red onion, and you mix all that together so the onion's good and coated too. Toss in a chopped up head of cauliflower, and then you roast it. So I didn't do exactly what she said. She said to roast it for 30 to 40 minutes, I think it was, and I did it a lot less because I just don't like the cauliflower weepy, you know?
Yeah, so, and also it depends on how you cut your cauliflower, how long it takes to get to where you like it.
And I use that setting that I've talked about that I didn't even know my oven had until my friend Dawn pointed it out, but it's that convection roast, and it's such a good setting. Like, look and see if yours accidentally has it, just like mine did, but convection roast, because it just, especially for roasting vegetables, it just makes everything browner faster, and it's really good. So I did that. And then you make a tahini sauce that's just lemon juice, garlic, tahini, salt, water, what you'd think. And then you warm up some pitas. I use naan bread because I like that and I had it in the freezer. And then just like you would with a gyro sandwich, you chop up some tomato, cucumber, Kalamata olives. And then she suggested it. I didn't think it up myself because I'm just not thinking stuff up lately because I'm not drinking any caffeine. But some hummus too.
Uh-huh.
And so then there's the hummus, the tahini sauce, and the vegetables and the cauliflower. And it was really, really good.
I have been reading the comments about that, and everybody is raving about
it. Okay. So then, I saw it because the New York Times had published it, too.
Yeah.
But it's her recipe, and it was really good. Do you remember that restaurant down in Manzanita Blackbird?
Yes.
Closed long ago.
It's still mourned.
I know, but they had this cauliflower, and they roasted it with zhug.
Yes.
Z-H-U-G, that spice. And then they made a harissa mayo, which is, we all know, just mayo with some harissa whipped into it. And so you would dip that into. And I think that I'd make this cauliflower as a side dish, too, because it was delicious in the way that that jug was. And I didn't use a lot of cayenne. And so the jug is pretty spicy. It's like right on the line for
me. Yeah, it's a blend.
To enjoy it, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think that I might make this as a side dish, too, just the cauliflower.
Uh-huh.
Because it was good and it wasn't hard, you know. It's just like roasting any other vegetable. You just put the spices on it before.
Yeah. I tried a roasted mushroom and lentil thing since I saw you last.
Okay.
And it is a two-stage thing in that you roast the, you slice up a mixture, ideally a mixture of mushrooms.
Okay.
And put them on some parchment on a roasting pan and salt, pepper, drizzle of olive oil. And roast them in the oven. And then in the meantime, you're using a sauté pan to do the rest of the ingredients and then adding the mushrooms to it. So it's like they called for black lentils. I didn't have black ones. I used brown ones. It was fine. But I love the black ones. I need to get some. And the mirepoix was onions, fennel, garlic, and a bay leaf.
Interesting, the fennel.
Yeah, and I thought it was, I should have done what they said. You know how you don't do what they say? And one of the things that they said, which I read right after I tossed the fennel stalks into the compost, was to save the stalks and put them in the sauté and then pull them out at the end and you don't serve them.
Added flavor.
But they add more flavor. Okay. And it would have been nice to have even a stronger.
I never would have thought of that.
So anyway, fennel, that's a good flavor for this combination, okay. I thought. I thought I liked this dish and I would have liked it even better had I not. It was, you serve it with, you simmer all of the mirepoix and the lentils slowly until the lentils get just how you like them. And then you toss in the mushrooms. And I would have, I think, opted to use, the recipe just called for water. And if next time I make it, I would use either veg stock or mushroom stock.
Oh, yeah, that
makes
sense.
I just think it would have been tastier or maybe even half and half. And there's a
You mean half vegetable and half mushroom? I thought you meant like cream.
Oh, yeah. That would be really delicious.
Or my go-to.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, no, half
body
water.
Body by recipe substitutions.
Use what you have. And I always have cream. There's a bay leaf in there. And I don't know if we've had the to bay or not to bay discussion, you and I, before, but there's a lot of discussion about whether or not bay leaf even adds anything.
I'm team bay.
Yeah, me too. I always use it. I wish that in the past, in other places, I have had a bay tree.
Yeah.
And fresh bay leaves are always so, I mean, you know that they're in there. Mm-hmm. Dry bay leaves, not so much, mm-hmm. but I still always use, if they're called for, I use them.
Yeah, I mean, I'll use as many as 12. And I don't think I'm overbaying my stuff, but overbay. Hey, he's a carpenter, a woodworker.
It is.
Hi, Ed.
Not possible to overbay. Anyway, I like this very much. And I also like the fact that you top it with herbed croutons.
Croupons. It's half croupons. Off. It's a croupon. It turns out that you also need coffee.
Oh, I need more coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other thing about being a coffee head is that there's never quite enough. But the croutons are just tossed in butter.
Okay.
And crisp to your preference and then tossed with chopped parsley and lemon zest.
Okay.
And they're good on top of there, but they don't, if you put them all in there at the beginning, mm-hmm. then they're really not good the next day, the croutons.
Yeah,
I don't
they never
think,
are.
No.
Yeah.
You got to pull them out and toss them and just eat whatever is left over.
Yeah.
But I liked it a lot, so.
Nice. I have a friend that roasts her mushrooms for her spaghetti sauce.
Yeah.
And I think it's an unnecessary step for that. So but that she does that.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's extra work and dishes that to me don't really add anything. But yeah, you know, and also the energy when you roast something, you've got your oven up to like 425. And you don't need it for anything else for spaghetti sauce. So for me, it wasn't worth it.
I think that I could have, on this recipe, I could have dry roasted them in the saute pan before I did anything else.
Oh, yeah.
Pulled them out.
Yeah.
And done the mirepoix and tossed them back in. I think that it would have eliminated the oven. And I, as we go into summer, those are the kinds of things. Those are the kind of things.
Yeah.
The other thing I tried since I talked to you last that I really like, have you ever made kugel?
I don't think so.
Well, I'd only ever had, and I have shared living quarters with a lot of, a number of Jewish people over the years, and the only kugel that I had ever had before was just the classic noodle, egg noodle kugel. egg noodle kugel. But anyway, if you haven't had kugel before, it is a it's an egg custard pudding dish. It's a casserole. Mm-hmm. And this recipe that I tried and I thought was really good was sweet potato apple.
Oh, wow.
Kugel. Uh-huh. And it's just made like you would make any egg custard dish. It's you make an egg custard with cream and eggs and salt and pepper. And this one has, let me see, it's sweet potatoes, slightly tart apples, which they identify as Gala and Braeburn, which I think is interesting because a Gala apple is not
tart.
Did
you say that they identify as gay?
No. I said Gala. Oh, yeah, you're funny.
I'm so sorry, America.
No, she's waking up. We just needed to wait a minute. This has also got honey, lime juice, and butter.
It sounds really good. Is it like on the border between sweet and savory?
Yeah, very not savory, I didn't think.
Oh, it's sweet, okay.
I baked it for someone else,
okay,
and I baked it in a little casserole, like a little Corningware small mm-hmm. thing. And as I always do when I'm making something for someone else is that I taste it to...
you don't want to poison them.
That's exactly right. Yeah, yeah. And also because I really wanted to make sure you know how it is with custard things, especially when they have a lot of fiber stuff in there. It's hard to tell exactly when they're done.
Okay.
They don't jiggle very well, and they still might be kind of runny. So
okay.
I did have a spoonful out of the corner of it, and it was really, really good.
It sounds like such a great combination.
It was delicious. And you got all of your fruit and veg, you know what I mean?
Woohoo!
And protein from the egg custard. It was really good. I recommend...
It's cupcakes from now on. I've done what I was supposed to do.
I have a recipe going into this week with savory kugel. I'll report back.
Okay.
I'm on a roll now about it.
I'm on a kugel. I saw kind of a cool pan. So somebody, this was probably a year or two ago, told me about travel cakes, which I had never even heard of before.
No.
But I think that they're just kind of like quick bread type things.
Oh.
And then this one, this pan, this specific pan, it has like a tube running up the middle, so it's kind of like you put a rod through the center of like a loaf of zucchini bread, and then you pull it out when you're done baking it, and then you fill the loaf with something, you know, like some kind of cheesecake kind of thingy or jam kind of thingy, and I thought it was kind of a cool idea. I don't think I have room in my basement to order the pan.
Oh, my gosh. You've been doing a basement reset.
I know. And it's sad how much stuff I have. And it's also really remarkable how completely I like blocked my memory from remembering anything that's down there. Like it's like traumatic how much stuff I have
related
to cooking and everything. It's so sad.
The danger of forgetting what you have is that you buy another one.
Oh. Well, do you remember when all those people showed up at my house for like unexpected guests? They were supposed to be 5 and they showed up as 13.
Yes.
I'm like, well, I don't even have 13 plates. Oh, it turns out I have 13 plates. I just forgot about them.
You have a setting for 50. So yeah. Seriously. I want to take a quick sec before we pursue this nonsense and remind everybody or inform everybody, if you're new to Food Talk, that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN and North Coast Food Web. And we are grateful for both of those organizations in our community. And if you are interested in finding out more about pretty much everything under the sun, the two websites I would recommend to you are KMUN.org and NorthCoastFoodWeb.org.
And I know it's been, you know, like a month, but man, the seven of you really stepped up for the pledge drive, and thank you very much.
Thank everybody for every day of that pledge drive. Thank you.
The radio station's still here, and Mary Ann and I get to, well, I get to drag my behind here still. So, and it's just because of the money that you guys give. And thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Indeed. Thank you. Hey, along the lines of talking about having kitchen equipment.
Yeah.
Although I'm not, I mean, a saute pan is equipment, but it's on the lower scale.
Yeah.
You know, just above measuring spoons, I think. Because what can you do without a fry pan? I'd like to know. Yeah. But I have for, since 2004, I have been using a wherever aluminum, like 10-inch fry pan.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, but we didn't call them saute pans when this pan was made.
It was a frying pan.
And it belonged to my beloved aunt, who I loved, 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 and who passed away in 2004. And one of the things that I kept from her was a saucepan with a lid and this frying pan with a lid. They weigh nothing. They're aluminum, and they are avocado green painted on the outside.
Oh, my gosh. I think my mom had the same one.
Yeah, everyone did.
Yeah.
And I have used that fry pan every single day since 2004.
Wow.
Because one of the things that I used it for, and sometimes I had to, like, wash it in between and use it again later for something else in the day, was I cook for my dogs.
Yes.
And they get cooked food along with dog food. And I always used that pan every single day because it just made me happy to pull it out of the cupboard and use it.
Auntie.
And over time, like, the handle came off and Tom had to find a screw that fit and put it all back together more than once.
I think I remember.
And then my dishwasher died and I got a new dishwasher, and it is so incredibly efficient that it started taking
to pit it?
No, the frying pan part was fine, but the avocado green has been slowly disappearing.
It doesn't work without the avocado green.
Well, it didn't because over months and months and months, the little aluminum collar that covered where the handle attached to the, because that was back when they screwed a handle on your saute pan. Eroded, and then it fell off, and then we couldn't fix it anymore, and I had to kiss it goodbye, and I ordered a set of new saute pans. And these are saute pans. And they're what a treat.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I almost cried when I had to get rid of that pan. But now I'm just like, oh, I love these new pans.
It's so funny how much the internet tries to get you to buy new pans, like, weekly.
Yeah, I know.
That's what they're always.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But, you know, these that old one lasted forever.
Yeah.
I have no idea how long my Aunt Marge used it for, but I used it for 20 years.
Yeah.
Wow. And it probably cost less than $10 when she bought it.
Yeah.
I know it's crazy, but it is that thing we do with, I don't know, cooking stuff. At least I do.
That's equipment, you know? That's what you say. I remember one summer with my brothers trying to come up with an absolute, you know, something that was absolutely true. And the only one that we could come up with was, if you have the right equipment, you can do the job better.
Oh.
And we couldn't find an exception to that. Everything else we could think of, we could find an exception. We spent a summer trying to come up with new swear words, too. Do you want to hear those?
I do, and we're almost off the air.
Oh, look, it's Jack. He got here fast.
Oh, Yeah, that sounds like fun. You had a cool brother.
Two of them. So Memorial Day's coming up.
Yeah.
I traditionally or generally make pies for Memorial Day, but
that's right. You make flag pies.
Yeah, yeah. But I think I'm just going to do pies. I don't feel that fussy this year.
Yeah. So,
some years for Memorial Day and the 4th of July, I'll make pies that are red and blue and they have stripes and stars. And oh, good Lord, that's a lot of work. So maybe if I started drinking coffee.
You know, that might be a prescription that you have to start drinking coffee to fill orders.
Well, it was the doctor that said I had to stop.
Oh, gosh. You know,
I'm not going to get a prescription.
You'd think if you pay somebody, they would be nicer
to
you.
Do what I want. I'm paying you. But I remember at a certain point, I was thinking maybe you had made your lifetime's allotment of pies.
I would not be sad if I never made another pie. On the other hand, once I get my hand on the dough,
yeah,
I'm pretty into it.
I just wondered if you had healed from that trauma.
I didn't recognize it as a trauma until close to the end.
Yeah.
But I think that the thing is that, and I shouldn't even say this to you because it probably doesn't apply to you, but I lose the enthusiasm in cooking if I have to do it on deadline over and over mm-hmm. and over mm-hmm. again. Then I'm no longer enthused about that thing mm-hmm. that I've been doing. And I still have an ancient pie crust in the freezer. Oh,
both you and I, we're going to have to do some carbon 14 dating because yes. I know how long it's been that you have like given up the pie making. Yeah. But both you and I are lucky because we don't see cooking as a chore.
Yes, that's true.
And I know that we are in the minority. Most people see cooking as a chore, and that's hard. It's got to be just so hard because you have to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Just so hard to go through life and really dread cooking. But it's true, when we do something over and over and over for deadline, then I know what that feels like for people who view cooking as a chore on a daily basis, because it becomes a chore.
Yeah, that's the thing.
This is such an uplifting show.
It is so uplifting. I do have a suggestion, though, to people who really, really, really hate to cook.
What?
And this is what I did. I'm just saying it worked for me. It probably doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah.
But cooking for one is not a... It's a challenge,
mm-hmm.
and it is lacking that one crucial ingredient, which is at least one other person saying that you're wonderful.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is delicious.
Yeah, yeah, right. But mostly it's just standing at the kitchen sink eating a tuna fish sandwich or cold pizza. But what I did to solve the problem was just go to work in the food industry and eat at work.
Oh.
That's a tip.
What a
solution.
That's a free
tip.
All my friends are now available for hire.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. And I love cooking at the beginning of the day. Breakfast is always at my house is often more inspired than dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Because by the time I get to the end of the day, things have happened.
Well, and for me, that's really true too. And often, I mean, really often, I will make something in the morning and then I just reheat it for dinner.
Oh, you're so smart.
No, not smart. It's just that I have more energy in the morning and I have more will to live in the morning.
Yes.
And, at the end of the night, I'm like, look, it's a mayonnaise sandwich. What, you want pepper on it? Put it on yourself. I mean, I'm more likely to say something that at 6 p.m. than I am at 10 a.m.
I served my beloved husband, and it doesn't sound like he's beloved because of the way I describe what I do for him. But last night he got a roast beef sandwich, potato salad, and some baked beans. That is the double carb starch on your plate. But it saved. I added the beans because it saved everything from being white.
Oh.
Some Castelvetrano olives, and I think that might have been it. Oh, and a sliced mango. Just to,
See, now that doesn't sound like you didn't try. That sounds just fine.
Well, it sounds like lunch.
Yeah, but.
Sounds like lunch at 8 o'clock in the evening. Anyway, I don't know. I would love to. There are times that I would love to have the folks we can't see on the other end of this conversation we have on Food Talk to know what they're doing when they can't stand to cook, or knowing what they're doing when they are very enthusiastic about cooking. Because there are times when I'm very enthusiastic. Yeah. It just depends on what else is going on in the day. It really does. Yeah. And what's going on in the fridge.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because like for that cauliflower, I chopped everything up in the morning. I didn't roast it in the morning, but man, I chopped everything up so I wouldn't have to do that later.
That's you know, a favor for your future self.
Yeah, yeah. And just because I knew later, I'd be like, oh, I don't have the energy to try a new thing. But if everything's all chopped up, you know, then you're fighting against, this is going to go to waste.
Yeah, that's
so you like have to. You force yourself.
That's right. That's right.
Well, it's probably not like a favor for your future self. It's like behavior management of your future fit-throwing toddler.
And your grocery budget is oh, I bought that. Somebody grew it. Oh, I carried it home.
The Sunday market has started. Have you been down?
I have not, but I was in yesterday subbing for Bernie on Country Swing, and that's when I realized, oh my gosh, the market's happening.
Yeah, boy, there's mushroom vendors that are just extraordinary. I mean, there's some good stuff down there. You guys have to go.
Yes, and yesterday on Country Swing, I urged everybody to find their closest farmer's market and go, because it is fabulous right this minute, and it's only going to get better.
Yeah, the tender little baby lettuce. I mean, you feel like you're eating veal. This is a crime, but it's delicious.
I don't do lamb and veal anymore.
No.
I can't.
But I still do baby lettuce.
And spinach, baby spinach.
Baby spinach. Going to hell.
Well, we have to eat.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. It makes no difference if you eat the lettuce as a baby or as an adult. You're still eating it, so you might as well eat it as a baby. Go to your farmer's market. Just do it. Yeah. It is so... it's wonderful. And if you go to KMUN.org and click on community calendar, you'll find some information there about the local farmers markets in our listening area that are at different times starting their season. So, but yes, Astoria's Sunday market is in biz.
Yeah, I think berries, we're going to start getting, you know, berry stands around here the end of May. And that's soon. I'm really excited about that.
And by next month, we'll start with stone fruits. I'm excited about the berries.
I get my epiglottis going.
We need berries. I can't get enough berries.
They're berry good.
Yeah, they are. And I will say that you can get decent blueberries, even some blackberries and raspberries when they're not in season here. But strawberries, I know that they're out there. I see them, and they're tucked into their little clamshells, and they just don't taste like anything.
No, nothing like the hoods or the shucksons, yeah.
Yeah, you just got to wait. And if you really, it's like corn. You just have to wait. Yep. Just be patient. Try to just be patient. Hey, we are coming down to our last minute, and I see John Stevenson through the window of the air room, and he is here waiting to bring us Lost Highways, which we look forward to every Monday. So,
how come he never plays my song?
What? We'll confront him. We will confront him on behalf of all of you out there that might be thinking the same thing about your song. We'll quiz John Stevenson, but I wonder if you would like to sing us out.
In case you're wondering what that song is.
What is it?
I'm driving my vegetables, I'm driving my green edibles, I'm driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli, I'm driving my cauliflower, driving a bushel of corn home, but not quite yet. You have to wait for the corn. It's here, but not quite yet. Pretty soon. Don't.
I can't believe this song has not made the top 10. I cannot believe it. Everybody, have a fabulous Monday. See you in a couple weeks.
Bye.